There are three questions that tell you whether you own a business or you're renting a well-paid job. Most advisors have never run them because the practice looks fine from the outside and nobody schedules the conversation. Today, I'll give you all three and the one most advisors get wrong without knowing it. Quick note before we get into it. Advisor Growth Lab is not a broker dealer and everything here is for educational purposes only. It's not individualized legal, tax, or investment advice. Every advisor's situation is different, so treat this as a map, not a set of directions. This is for the advisor somewhere past year 10 who started wondering whether the model they picked at the start is still the right one. You can run these three tests in an afternoon. The asset test, the ownership test, and the control test. Start with why this lands so hard around year 10. Because the early years answer a different question. At the beginning, the model question is a survival question. Can I build a book at all, and which platform gives me the best odds? By year 10, you've answered that. What you haven't checked is what all of it adds up to for you, as opposed to for the firm whose name is on the door, and you're not the only one checking. Fidelity's advisor movement study found that more than half of advisors, 56%, considered switching firms within a five-year window, and roughly one in four actually moved. That's from 2023, so take it as a snapshot. Diamond Consultants' annual transition report counted more than 11,000 experienced advisors changing firms in 2025, up about 16% on the year before. But notice that should I move is not the first question, it's the third. The first is what you actually own today. The second is what you want to own at the end. So, the asset test. Could you sell what you've built or hand it to someone? This is the bluntest of the three. A business has something at its center that survives you stepping back. A book, a brand, a base of relationships with value attached. A job pays you well and honorably, right up until the day you stop showing up. And here's what makes it hard to see coming. Income and equity feel identical while you're earning them. The money hits the same account. They only separate at the finish line. Income stops, equity gets sold, transferred, or handed to your kids. An advisor who owns their firm is holding a company a buyer can purchase or a successor can inherit. An employee advisor who has a book usually has the right to service it, which is a different thing entirely. After two decades of assembling something, there may be nothing to sell because contractually it was never yours to sell. Run it literally. If you decided today you were done in 5 years, is there something here a specific buyer would pay for? If the answer is no, better to know now while there's still runway to change it. Second test, ownership. Whose name is on the client relationship? You don't have to guess about this one, because the industry wrote it down. The broker protocol, created back in 2004 by Smith Barney, Merrill Lynch, and UBS, governs what a departing advisor may take when moving between member firms. The official protocol text spells out five items and only for clients you personally service: client name, address, phone number, email address, account title. That's it. The text also prohibits taking any other documents or information. Read that list as an ownership statement. After 20 years of work, the portable part of an employee advisor's practice is five fields of contact information, and only when both firms happen to have signed the same voluntary agreement. Everything else stays because on paper, the relationship was always the firm's. The softer signals point the same direction. When a client needs something, do they call you or the 800 number? Nobody knows for certain in advance who'd follow. But the paperwork question has an answer today. Pull a client agreement and look at whose name is on it. Third test, control. Who decides how your practice runs? In a business you own, you set the fees, the service model, the technology, the way you grow. In a job, those decisions get made above you and handed down, and your input is feedback rather than authority. This one's countable, which I like. Write out the major decisions that shape your practice: pricing, minimums, planning software, custodian or platform, marketing, hiring. Now mark the ones you actually get to make versus the ones you can only request. An employee advisor usually marks very few. An advisor at an independent broker dealer or under an office of supervisory jurisdiction, an OSJ, marks more with real carve-outs. An owner marks nearly all of them and answers for the results. That last part matters. Control shows up bundled with responsibility for compliance, staffing, and every vendor contract you sign. Some advisors want that bundle. Some genuinely don't. And their honest control test answer is, fewer decisions, please. This isn't a scorecard where higher is better. It's a mirror. Which one are you running, and is it the one you meant to run? So what do advisors usually find when they run all three? Something sobering rather than dramatic. Most discover they've been the engine of something valuable without owning the thing they were powering. The revenue was real. The relationships were real. The asset accumulated on someone else's balance sheet. And of the three, the ownership test is the one most advisors get wrong. Not for lack of thinking about it, it's that control and income do a convincing impression of ownership. Clients ask for you by name. You decide how the day runs, the money lands every month. All of that reads as owning something right up until you try to sell it and find out the relationship was papered to the firm the whole time. The asset test and the control test give you answers you half expected. The ownership test is the one that surprises people. And often the deferred money reinforces the arrangement. FINRA itself has described recruitment incentives running as much as 2 to 3 times the prior year's commissions and fees. And its guidance walks through an illustrative 9-year note. An advisor partway through paper like that isn't exactly free to act on what the test just told them. That's not an accusation. It's a design, and it works as designed. There's good news buried in the finding, though. The value didn't come from the logo or the lobby. Clients stayed because of you, which means what you built can, in principle, be rebuilt on a foundation you own. That might be your own registered investment advisor, an RIA. It might be tucking into an existing one, or an independent broker dealer if you've got meaningful commission business. How it works in your case depends on your contract and your obligations. And that's a job for a securities attorney who handles advisor transitions. Almost no advisor has one on retainer. That's exactly why this is the moment to get one in your corner. One more thing before I wrap up. Renting a job is not shameful. For long stretches of a career, it's the smart, responsible choice. The trap is renting for 30 years while telling yourself you're building. If you want a structured read on your own three answers, we built a short assessment for exactly this. 6 questions, and it points you to a private conversation or the research that fits your situation. It's free on our website at advisorgrowthlab.com. 2 minutes, no call, no pitch. Run the test, then stay or go on purpose. Clear eyes first, the move second. I'll see you tomorrow.